Now, when you go home today, sit down and read this chapter again. I'm not going to just stand here and read it right now, but we're going to go down through it, some of it. But you take it and go home and sit down and read it. Now, there's a lot of titles I could have put on this lesson. God will provide himself a lamb. A gospel story. That's a good one. But this morning, as I was going back over this, the title hit me, I told you he would see to it. I told you he would see to it. Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And over there in verse 14, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, that is to say, the Lord shall be seen, or he shall see to it. I told you he would see to it. The Lord will provide. He will provide. He'll see to it. Now, what we have here in the beginning of this chapter is a trial of faith, or a challenge to faith, a response of faith, and a gospel story. That's what we have. You know, it's like we looked at last week, the allegory, and I said Abraham, Sarah didn't realize that they were creating an allegory. And here again, Abraham, I know, did not realize he's creating a gospel story by what he's going through, by what God is putting him through. And so we start here in verse 1. It says, after these things, it is said among the Jews, at least I've read this, that Abraham had 10 trials. Now, I don't know what all 10 of those trials were, but I know this. This was probably the toughest of them. This was probably the toughest of his trials. After Abraham had endured many trials, after he became an old man, his hardest trial has now come. I think sometimes our hardest trials come later in life. And I have learned this. I think old age itself is probably the toughest trial. I've seen this by watching my parents. I think old age is probably the toughest trial that we probably go through. But after these things, after these trials and all that God had put Abraham through, God did tempt, or he tried Abraham. You know, faith must be tried. And if God has given me faith, if God's given you faith, I assure you he's going to try. He's going to try. That's the only way that we can be sure that the faith that we have, the faith we profess to have, is genuine. It's when God tries it. And when God tries it, we come out on the other side of the trial even stronger than when we went in it. Job said, when he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. And it's the only way for faith to grow. I desire that my faith in Christ, that your faith in Christ, will grow stronger. I do. I desire that it grows stronger and stronger until the Lord takes us out of here. But knowing that, I also know this. I know this. For it to grow, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it. It's like the oak tree stands out there and it's growing. And every year, that oak tree goes through the storms. It goes through the rain. It goes through the hard wind. And each time it goes through it, those roots grow a little deeper. They get a little deeper, and it gets a little stronger. Until one day, you have a strong oak tree. And one of the things that made that oak strong is the storms that it went through and made those roots get down into the ground and hold on. For faith to grow, It has to be tried. It is then that we exercise that faith in Christ that God's given us. And we look to Him for help in time of need. And when He helps us, faith is strengthened. Now, if you'll notice here, God speaks to Abraham. And Abraham said, "Behold, here I am." Here's the response of faith. Ready to do God's will. God has spoken to him in the past. And I tell you, not every time the Lord speaks to us, is it, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. I want the Lord to speak, don't you? I want the Lord to speak, but not every time he speaks brings a joyful occasion at the time. When God appeared to Abraham, he said to him, "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac, the son whom you love, your well-beloved son. I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering." I have no doubt that Abraham and Sarah went to bed that night. And as they went to bed, he went to sleep, and God woke Abraham up. And he said, "Abraham, I want you to take Isaac. And I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering." And I tried in my mind as I thought over this to put myself as best I could in Abraham's place. There he is, laying there. God has woke him up, and God has given him a very difficult situation, a real challenge to faith. Not only does God challenge his faith, he challenges his love. You know, I've mentioned this scripture different times just in the past few weeks. "He that loves mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter more than me." Well, Abraham's love to God is being challenged as well as his faith. And Sarah laying there beside him asleep. And you know, being a man, he's thinking, "This is my only son and it's her only son. I'm going to go offer him up as a burnt offering." Now, I know that the scripture teaches us that Abraham received him in a like figure of being raised back up. But still yet, he had to do this. He had to do this. And this is a tough trial. But he says, "Here I am." And God says, "Take now thy son." And here's what we're going to see. We're going to see a picture. We're going to see a picture of Isaac being a type of Christ and Abraham being a type of the Father. And then the picture is going to change. It's like turning the photo album. You know, you get to change pictures. The picture is going to change from Isaac being a type of a believer and the ram caught in a thicket being the type of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute. That's what we're going to see. So he says here, "Take now thy son." Obey now. Take now. Obey now. You know, hesitation leads to trouble. When it comes to spiritual matters, it leads to doubts, and we start to reason and think. But God didn't give him time to think about this. He says, "Do it now." "Take now thy son, thy only son." Thy only son. Abraham had two sons. But the one son is the one God gave him by promise. And that's the one he's talking about, the son of promise. "You take him, the son whom thou lovest, thine only son Isaac whom thou lovest." Not a servant, but a beloved son. That son of promise, that son between you and Sarah, you take him. He's the one. "And you take him to the land of Moriah." That's about 40 miles from Beersheba. 40 miles, 3 days' journey. This is a tough trial. Not only did he tell him to take his son, his only son, his beloved son, and offer him up as a burnt offering, but he gives him 3 days to think about it. 3 days to think about it. He had plenty of time to think about it. I have no doubt he did not tell Sarah. When he got up that morning, he told his servants, you go saddle the ass, you go get the wood and the fire, you get all this stuff and let's go. We're going. Isaac, I don't even think he told Isaac about it yet until he got up to the mountain there. Then he told him what was going on. And I'll get to that in a minute. But he didn't tell Sarah. And here's a good lesson. We must not consult with the flesh when it comes to doing the Lord's will. He didn't get up and say, Sarah, the Lord spoke to me last night. He appeared to me. And you know what he told me? He told me to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering today. What do you think her reaction would have been? I believe he kept his mouth shut and did the Lord's will. And offer him up as a burnt offering. Now listen, this is the first mention of a human sacrifice. Now we're getting, and Abraham's going to get right here, a very clear picture of substitution. He's going to get a clear picture of the gospel. Our Lord said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. And I think this is the day. I think this is the day he really began to have another clear understanding of the gospel and how God saves sinners. And I think this was that day. And this is also the clearest picture of the gospel substitution. Of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. God the Father offering up his Son. There was a human sacrifice made for us in order for us to go free. Jesus Christ was offered up as a burnt offering for our sins. God the Father called forth his Son to the work of redemption. He purposed it and he executed it. He executed it. The Father went with his Son to Calvary to offer him up as a sacrifice for our sins. He was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That's what happened to Calvary. And Abraham rose up early. This shows he's ready to do God's will. Ready to do God's will. As hard as it is, he's ready to do it. True faith is obedient to the Lord's command. Christ said, "You are my disciples. Keep my commandments. Obedient to me." They traveled, as I said, for three days. And not one time do we read of Abraham faltering. Now, there's no doubt when they stopped and they camped and they're sitting there by the fire that he's looking at Isaac. And I have no doubt that his heart's heavy because he's about to slay his son. He's human. That's the son of his love. And his heart's heavy, but he didn't falter. We don't read of him faltering or going back. For 3 days, he had an opportunity to go back. But he didn't. He didn't. God the Father purposed the death of his Son and never, ever altered that purpose. Abraham had 3 days to think about it. Now listen. God the Father, I'm going to put this in language you and I can understand. God the Father had eternity to think about it and never changed his mind. Never altered. No shadow of turning at any time. And what we see in verse 5 through 7 is a beautiful picture of the Father and the Son going up the mountain together. One to die, and the other to put to death the son of his love. That's what we see. What a beautiful picture of the gospel. If you'll notice, they took wood, which represents the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and fire, which represents the wrath of God. But where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? There's some things here needs to be pointed out. Isaac knew, in order to worship God, there must be a lamb. There must be blood shed in order to complete, in order to even make the worship of God possible. We cannot have a worship service here this morning and the lamb be missing. It can't happen. God cannot be worshipped this morning apart from Christ and Him crucified. Now you can call it a worship service if you want, or I can call it a worship service if I want, but it's not a worship service if the lamb is missing. The lamb has to be present in order for there to be a worship service, because Abraham said, he said to this, there in verse 5, and he said to his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And worship. "And come again to you." He knew he was coming back. Him and Isaac. "Come again to you." But here, listen, the lamb has to be present. God cannot be worshipped with wood and fire only. There must be a blood sacrifice. And I thought this. I pray that the children here, as they grow up, will be very clear on this matter. There must be the Lamb. Where is the Lamb? When you hear somebody preach, look and listen for the Lamb. You don't hear it somewhere else. There must be a lamb for a sacrifice if God's to be worshipped. Must be the shedding of blood if God's to be approached by sinners. Isaac knew this. Abraham taught this to him. He knew this. He knew it. And Abraham makes a profound statement as well as a prophetic statement. He says in verse 8, "My son." And here's faith. Here's faith. He said, "My son, God will provide Himself." Here's the wood. Here's the fire. But now the lamb is going to be of God's providing. It's going to be of God's providing. God will provide the lamb. And listen, I heard Henry say this once and I've never forgot it. God will provide Himself a lamb, and God will provide Himself as the lamb. God will be the lamb. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. And God Almighty is the lamb. He is the lamb. They came to the place. When they got to that place, Abraham built an altar. He built an altar there and laid the wood in order. I like the way that this is not just being just written out, like the wood was laid in order. And that's easy. It's easy just to pass over that. But I thought as I read this, there's to be order in the worship service. Not chaos. There's to be order. God is a God of order. Worship is to be, there's order to it. Isn't there? There's order to our worship service. This also shows, I think, how calm Abraham was. How confident he was. He wasn't just throwing things around and tore up. He just laid that wood in order. He built an altar. Laid the wood down. They had the fire. They're getting ready. He's getting everything ready. He's about to slay his son. Now, I'm telling you, as far as Abraham's concerned, Isaac's dead. Isaac's dead. And this is the time, I think, when he built the altar, he put the wood in order. I think this is the time that Abraham turned and talked to Isaac what God had revealed to him. Told him what God had revealed to him. And Isaac is a beautiful picture of the obedient son. You know it. I don't know, but they say he was between the age of 20 and 30. Abraham was well over 100. Well over 100. They say, I'm going to say he's probably around the age of 20. He could have overcame Abraham easy. That boy could have just overpowered Abraham. But when Abraham told him what God had said, now listen, Isaac willingly laid down on that altar and let Abraham bind him. That's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life for us. He was not pressed to do it. He was not forced to do it. He said this, "No man takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. And if I lay it down of myself, I take it again. But know this." He said, "Know this. You're not taking my life from me. I'm laying it down for you. For a multitude of sinners." He said, "I'm laying it down of myself." And Isaac is a beautiful picture of that. When Abraham revealed to him what the Lord had said, I believe Isaac just submitted to it. Isaac believed the gospel. He believed the same gospel Abraham believed. And then Abraham, in verse 10, stretched forth his hand to take the knife and slay his son. He took that knife. He had that knife ready to slay him, to do what you do with the burnt offering. And then set him on fire and burn him. Sit there and watch that body, that boy he loved so much, burn up. God stopped him. God stopped him. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." This shows how imminent it was. I mean, the blow was ready to be struck, and the angel said, "Abraham, Abraham." He's saying, "Stop. Stop." And he said, "Here am I." Again, the obedient son. Here am I. "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know thou fearest God." Now God knew that. God knows the heart. God knows the heart. We see here how God looks on the heart. He said, "I know you fear God. Abraham, I see your heart. I see your heart." Abraham stopped. And here's where the picture changes. Abraham stopped and listened. Here's where it changes. He said, "I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Well, the picture changes, but it's the same message, isn't it? It's the same message, same picture, but that it, now we see a different part of it. Years ago, I worked for Bob Coffey. He owned an art gallery. And there was a picture in there of an artist. It was an original. And it was an Indian on a horse. And there's this forest behind it, what I can remember of, and there's this stream. It was a beautiful picture. I thought it was, I love looking at it. Beautiful picture. But when you looked at it closely, there were faces in the picture. There were faces in the forest, faces in the rocks, on the streams, and there was faces all over that picture. But when you just looked at the picture, all you saw was an Indian on a horse and a forest. But then when your attention was drawn to it and it was pointed out, and you started, well, there's a face. There's another one. There's another one. There's another one. Here's another face in the picture. It's going to change. There'll be another face here. Now, Isaac is going to be a picture of the believer. And that ram is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, a substitute. Isaac is set free, and the ram with a crown of thorns on its head is caught in the thicket by the thorns. Could it be a more clearer picture than this? There's a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. There's a crown of thorns on its head. And then, and Abraham takes that ram, he unties Isaac, and he lets him, Isaac gets up off that altar, and then the ram is brought over and put on that altar, and it is slain in the stead of Isaac. Don't you think Isaac wasn't glad to see the ram that day? I bet you he thought, woohoo! And I'm glad that ram's over there. I have no doubt he was thrilled to death just to hear of and see that ram. I mean, that knife was drawn, and he's looking up at his father getting ready to stab him or cut his throat. That's the way they did it. They cut his throat, and all of a sudden, everything stops. Everything stops. And there's a ram over there in the thicket. Just happened to be there. Yeah, right. And he goes over and gets that ram and unties his son. And boy, don't you know Abraham was thrilled to see that ram? Don't you know he was? He, whew, I bet you he just, the gospel cleared up for him that day. Boy, did he get a real picture of the gospel. You and I, who believe, were bound by the law to die for our sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, found a ransom in his son, set us free, and bound him to the cross in our stead, and put him to death. Jesus Christ really died in my place. And that's my salvation. That's my salvation. Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see. It will be seen in the mount. And one of the translations is, the Lord will provide. And that's the reason I titled it, I told you he would see to it. Because when Isaac asked him about the lamb, he didn't say, well, Isaac, you're the lamb today. Abraham was, here's all Abraham could say. Son, this is one thing I know. God will provide himself a lamb. We've got the fire and the wood. Now God's going to provide the lamb. But Abraham carried out the order. He carried it out the order, believing God would provide the lamb. And God had given him a vision that he would raise Isaac back up, because that's the only way the promise could be fulfilled. That's the only way the seed could come if Isaac continued on. The Lord will see. He will provide. He will see our need and provide. You know, it's sad that we ever doubt God, isn't it? If he has taken care of the weightier matter of my salvation, the very salvation of my soul, will he not take care of all these other little things? Will he not do that? I've never been called upon to do what Abraham was called upon to do. The Lord will provide. Has he not provided all that we need in the Lord Jesus Christ? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Has he not provided all that we need? I ask this question now. Where's the Lamb? He's seated at God's right hand, ruling over all. That's where the Lamb is. That's where he is. In verse 17, 18, 19, we see the Isaac's greatness, which represents Christ. He said, "Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Thy seed, which is Christ, shall possess the gate of his enemies." He rules. The Lamb rules. He's on the throne. And all nations shall be blessed through him. All nations shall be blessed. Thy seed, in verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." America is blessed right now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every nation on this earth has been blessed. There are people saved out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. Every nation. And it appears, you know, here's something interesting, and I think this has a reference to the resurrection of Christ, his ascension. And because he told Abraham told him in verse 5, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." But listen to verse 19. "And so Abraham returned unto his young men." It sounds like Isaac stayed upon the mountain, doesn't it? It says, "So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." I think that's a good picture there of the resurrection of Christ, his ascension on the glory. All right. I told you he'd see to it. I told you he would.